Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. Or if you're just joining us for hour two of the RP show, thanks for joining us. It's hot in here today. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying.
Oh, I know.
It's all good. It's all good. It's warm, though. Just for those that maybe weren't with us in hour one where, my guts are still tickled from Mike Richards joining us. The Mike Richards. And also Wally Buono. Rachel Tassoni writes in. She says, wow, what a great show. And only hour one. I needed a show like this. Thanks. Robin Wildy in Prince Albert says, how awesome would it be to have a rider sit with you guys for a sim game? That could probably happen.
It'd be really cool, but he wouldn't get to speak.
No, there's too much going on.
So maybe a halftime or something like that, but it would be really neat to have him in there for sure.
Thank you, Robin, for the question, by the way, because the poll question here, I was just reading Mo Khan, our next guest's Twitter bio, so I got to hang on for a second. I'll call up the poll question for Capital Automall, Universal Collision Center. I put it out last night because I wanted some runway dupes coming into today. Yep. Which is Canada's game of the week in CFL Sim Week 3? Winner to be broadcast on Facebook Live. 70% of you voting Saskatchewan at Hamilton, which we're calling a Grey Cup rematch. A Grey Cup preview. 23% saying Calgary at Winnipeg. 7% Edmonton at BC. So it appears we're going to be calling the Riders and the Ticats Thursday night from the donut box from this studio. And we're excited about because of a vote. And if any of those other games had won, we'd have called those Friday night. But this is leading, which we figured that it would.
Yeah.
So Darren called me yesterday. The crew here at IKS, because they are kind of looking for things to do.
Yeah.
You were talking about doing ads, right? Unfinished business. Riders, Ticats, Thursday night virtual football. We're going to do that?
It's Canada's game of the week.
Right.
We're Canada's sports talk show. It's not the Rider show. So we got to put ads. We got to engage the other markets, right? The Hamilton market. And so in promoting this game to Hamilton football fans, it can't be Canada's team rolls in to Hamilton. Right. That doesn't work. We need the slogan for their season.
And unfinished business.
You came up with unfinished business.
I'm pretty good at slogans.
Yeah. And that's great. So, virtually, the Ticats organization's got them all on their shirts, right? Unfinished business. The
hoodies.
Hashtag and the claws and whatever is going to be on there, the hoodies and such.
The virtual Ticats.
The virtual Ticats, yep. So, unfinished business is the slogan for the Ticats season. And they make their national television primetime debut this week.
Thursday night football.
Thursday night.
Hashtag TNF. It's going to happen 5 p.m. SAS time, 7 p.m. Eastern on this Facebook Live channel. So can we get the folks working on that? Are they working on it?
Yeah.
Jeff, the Stamps fan, says, would you ever consider broadcasting more than one a week? Well, we would consider it. But we would do it? Maybe. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
We've had tremendous reaction from the CFL, some teams, and definitely the players. So
my initial thought is Labor Day. You do Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, doubleheader. That might be fun. But right now, one a week.
JR in Cranbrook says, sell some advertising spots, need help. See, that's the rub. We won't be making any money off this. I think if we were trying to make money, we'd be shut down pronto.
Yeah.
So no, it's just for fun. It's been fun. That's what we'll continue to do. Are you ready, Jordan? Get ready here as I recap the Quick Six show topics. There you go. Quick Six show topics for the day. As we await our next guest, Mo Khan from TSN 690 Montreal, he can chime in on any of these. Number one, Columbus out of the running as an NHL hub city. I'm a little like Mike Richards, shocked they were in the running to begin with. Point two, Bubba Wallace honored at Talladega yesterday. It was one of the greatest moments you will ever see in sport. Will the FBI find the culprits that hung a noose in his garage Sunday morning? I'm thinking they will. It's the FBI. Point three, the Hockey Hall of Fame 2020 class will be announced tomorrow, Wednesday. They're saying Jerome Ginla is a first balloter, And I see TSN saying there's a stigma against Theo Fleury. My God, in this time of political correctness and social movements, can we not move past a stigma for Theo Fleury and put him in the damn Hall of Fame because he deserves to be there? Hockey could use some good pub right now, last I checked. Put Theo in the Hall. Point four, Raptors off to Fort Myers, Florida. It's happening. They're there now. Mm-hmm. Point five, Dak Prescott signing the $31.4 million franchise tender in Dallas. Who didn't think that he would? It's not even news. And point six, on the anniversary of Darian Durant with the Alouettes beating Saskatchewan. It was 3 years ago today. Green Zone talk show here in Saskatchewan's asking what are some of the most baffling Chris Jones moments in his time here. So maybe that's where we'll start. Mo Khan is from TSN 690 Montreal, play-by-play voice for McGill and the Slam. His tweets do not reflect Bell Media. Right, Mo?
They don't reflect Bell Media, Rod. How you been, pal?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate this. You ready to talk some sports today?
I feel like I finished in last place. I mean, Mike Richards just took the show, and give him a great cup ring because he is definitely the man of the hour.
What did you enjoy of the Mike Richards interview, by the way? He just had to just lay the boots to Edmonton like old times. Oh, my God, that was funny.
Like going ham on Edmonton is almost a foregone conclusion for all of us. We do it all the time, right? I mean, Edmonton was a city of champions, but they weren't that the case with the Oilers and Eskimos for a while. But for him to go hard on Edmonton, I mean, it was quite remarkable. I was quite surprised at times for the verbiage he used to describe Edmonton.
Hey, you know, it's funny, by the way. You are you a Montreal born and bred Montrealer?
I am Quebec born and raised, Montreal raised kid. Been here my entire life. I've been out west of Vancouver, but I've never been to Edmonton, though. That's your question.
Well, no. My question is this. Somebody, it might have been you, somebody tweeted this morning, a distinct Montreal flair to the RP show today with Wally, yourself, and John Liu. And I just wonder, because we don't think of Wally with Montreal, but you're living there. Like, does he come up? People talk about Wally still that around the Alouettes and in the football community there? Is his imprint as large as
absolutely,
it seems?
Because for sure, Rod. I mean, when you look at what he did in the Montreal area, he still has roots in St. Leonard, as he mentioned before with you in hour number one. And I think what he means to this football community is quite remarkable because people still talk about him even now. When I go to St. Leonard, which is the Cougars football program, people talk about him and say, wow, this guy was a legend with what he did to lay down the groundwork and inspired many people to become coaches that we see now at the Montreal minor league football level, even at the university level for that matter.
By the way, our viewers chiming in, Andrew Stout writes, "Bonjour, Mo, from a fellow West Islander." There is a lot of former Montreals living out here, Montrealers living out here. Let me ask you this, Mo, just switching gears for a second. We'll be a little all over the place in this chat. You know how it goes. Why is there not more talk in this country about Stanley Cup playoff matchups? I mean, I asked Mark Recchi about the Penguins Habs, and obviously they're working on it. They're getting ready for it. But why not on the networks? Are we not seeing more talk or even written about these playoff series?
I think, Rod, what you're looking at is a cautious approach. I mean, look, COVID-19 has taken over this world, right? I mean, we don't know what it's going to be like in 2 days or in 2 minutes from now with COVID-19. And I think with the Habs talk in particular in Montreal, where it's very pessimistic, covering this team on a weekly basis, going to practices and whatnot, there is a fan base that is very pessimistic about this team's chances. But let's not forget, they have Carey Price and Nets. And if this does go through where they play a best of five against Pittsburgh, I mean, look, all you need is three wins. And Carey Price can get you those three wins. And then I think that will pretty much peeve off the Hab fan base, because the reality was, Rod, this fan base wanted a top five pick. They wanted to get Alexis Lafreniere, the local kid, to be the next superstar, the local kid product playing for the Montreal Canadiens. That will not happen now. So you have a fan base that's damn if you do, damn if you don't. And right now, they're not very happy with them going to the playoffs in this context of this new summer Stanley Cup playoffs.
Fair, but I see you're kind of saying there's been no real previews out there because we don't even know if they're going to play. Is that what I'm getting from you?
Yeah, I mean, on our airways, we're talking, like, in Montreal, it is Habs, nothing else, right? If you go to Sask, it's Green Riders, nothing else, right? In this city, we could talk about, hey, Carey Price had a bad haircut, and that can go on for like 3 weeks in the summertime, right? So in the city of Montreal, and look, this is a frustrated, upset, fed up fan base with the direction of this team's way of doing things with Marc Bergevin, who's not done well as a GM for this franchise. And the fact that Jeff Molson, who had his webcam review with the media here about 2 weeks ago, didn't come off as well. And now fans in Montreal are demanding to see instant results here, because the reality is, Rod, this core that they have, the Gallaghers, the Tatars, the Webbers, the whole nine here, a lot of these guys will be UFAs after next summer. So this is going to be the last kick of the can for this fan base to see this core group to go at it. But the reality is, this fan base does not see any future hope for this team to make a deep run, whether it's now or next spring.
By the way, Colin checking in from Ottawa, one of our viewers, he says, don't worry, we'll take good care of Lafreniere here in Ottawa. LOL. I hope, I guess, from a Canadian sake that he goes to Ottawa, but I do think he's going to Detroit. They could very much use him there. But let me say this. So what's got to save Bergevin's job, or has it been saved, that they've kind of got into the playoffs by the skin of his fingernails?
Well, I joked about that 2 weeks ago, saying, hey, he was patient, didn't trade Tatar away or anyone else at the deadline back in February, and he's got himself a playoff spot. But the reality is, if Marc Bergevin and Jeff Molson are very tight, and this is a franchise that wants to see change. I mean, in the 8 years, I listed this on Twitter last week. In the 8 years that Marc Bergevin has become GM of this franchise, in the North or the Atlantic Division or the Metropolitan Division, I beg your pardon, all those teams have changed their GMs at least twice during that time with Marc Bergevin as the GM as the Montreal Canadiens. So, I mean, look, there's been change everywhere else but here in Montreal, because Jeff Molson believes in Marc Bergevin's view of what he thinks this team will be. They have a boatload of draft picks coming up in this year's draft, whether it's going to be in October or November, who knows when. And the farm now is looking much more hopeful, because we have guys who are now being developed at the Laval and CHL level that they think will now become superstars, whether it's in 3 or 4 years' time from now. And Marc Bergevin has preached patience for this fan base, but right now this fan base cannot go any longer with what has been his watch and what he's done or has not done for this franchise for the last 8 years.
We'll get to NFL in a second, but Craig Smith, heady praise here, Mo. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, two-time Grey Cup champion, says, Mo Khan, he could be a play-by-play guy for CFL on TSN. Heard his work with McGill. So that's coming from Smitty. That is heady work. Our praise there for your work, Mo. Let me ask you, who's the goalie with the American Hockey League team with Laval for the Habs?
Caden Primo, Keith Primo's kid.
He's a good, he might be the next one. I love the fact that TSN somehow by accident, I think, aired some AHL games this winter, and I saw Caden Primo. He's outstanding. Is he viewed as the next one? I mean, what's the window left here for Carey Price?
No question. I think this Montreal media, when we saw Caden Primo last June at the rookie camp after the NHL draft, he showed tangibles that that we all believe could lead him to becoming the heir apparent to Carey Price. Now, I think for Carey Price, and he said it last summer or last spring, I beg your pardon, Rod, at the postmortem. He says, look, I'm not getting any younger here. I mean, Carey Price will be 33 years old this season, whenever that might come about here. He knows he's on the back nine of his career, and he needs to win himself a Stanley Cup, whether it's with the Habs or not. That's to be determined in the next year, year and a half here. But Caden Primo definitely has a future for this franchise, and he'll probably spend another year with Laval whenever they come back with the AHL, whether it's now or January, whenever that might be. But the reality is, Primo has all the skill sets that you look for in a goaltender. He's composed. He is mature beyond his age, growing up in the family that he has with his dad, Keith, and his uncle, Wayne, being two mentors for him. And I think now moving towards this season, towards the summer and towards the fall seasons, I think Caden Primo will take that next step where he will become the next goalie for the Montreal Canadiens in 2 or 3 years from now.
He looks ready. I like him. Mo, our comments are going off. People love you out here in Western Canada. What's the deal? You engage with them on Twitter or what? They all say they listen to you regularly. This is something, man.
I'm blushing, man. I'm blushing. Look, I love Sask, right? I have a lot of friends out in Sask. I have a lot of friends in Vancouver, a lot of friends in Alberta, more in Calgary than Edmonton, to be honest with you, Rod. But I'm very honored to know that there's a fan base of mine past Manitoba going towards your part of the woods.
Big time, big time. And let me just two things, I guess. I can't let you get off the air without talking about the state of the CFL. What's the take in Montreal about playing in 2020? And if not, how it emerges and when?
Look, I'll be honest with you. I've spoken to various CFL people in the last 10 days, and I feel like there's a broken telephone with Randy Ambrosius trying to convey the message towards the ownership groups, the management teams, and players out there. If I were to use a comparison and speak to one CFL guy who vented to me for 45 minutes at 8 a.m. 10 days ago, I asked him, would you compare Ambrosius to being the Jim Leahy, the character from Trailer Park Boys, and how he ran that trailer park with the CFL? He goes, absolutely, because there is a broken telephone right now, RP, and I think right now the CFL has to get in order because we're approaching July in less than a week from now, and if we're going to see the CFL back in September by Labor Day, we need to have a plan in place to say, look, we're going to make these two cities or city a hub destination for everyone to come to and play for the next two, if not 3 months here. I said, personally speaking, that New Brunswick should be considered because they have the least amount of cases of COVID, which you can use as a hub for Montreal, for Hamilton, for Toronto, and Ottawa. But right now, I think for the CFL with Randy Ambrosi, he's got to figure out a plan that's going to be agreed upon by everybody, but more importantly, though, not to lose the respect of the players and management, which I think he has lost in the last 2 weeks.
And just lastly on the NFL, I could go on for hours with you on that, but if they're not playing, there's really no point. What do you think the chances are of that?
I think it's going to be likely because I know our one talked about Dak Prescott and him signing that deal with mm-hmm. Dallas. TV is going to be a big influence. And look, CFL, we know how it is. It's gate-driven for fans. NFL, it is driven by TV money. And we know the NFL will generate a huge TV viewership every Sunday, Monday, Thursday of the NFL season. And I believe that we will see NFL at some point. Whether they start in September, I think that's a little up in the air. But I think the likely case, if the NFL were to start on time, would be, hey, we're going to go systems go with or without fans. But I think the realistic approach for the NFL is, look, maybe go in October, let this continue to develop here in August and September and come back strong by October, which I think will be a more likely scenario for them if that's what they want to approach.
You're obviously following it very closely, as am I. I read an article this morning that the key is testing, testing, testing. They have the money to do it. The CFL does not, unfortunately. And it's a little case of, with the players, they might have to police themselves. You test positive, you're not getting in the building, you're not playing, you're not making your millions of dollars, right? So it's going to be on the players to, I mean, they're obviously going to have to take pledges as it is, but if the onus will be on them to stay healthy, they're not going to play. They want to play, Mo. So flipping it back on the players,
look,
isn't
they do.
Yeah.
I was saying, no, they do, Rod. And the reality is that for the players, look, they get 17 game checks during the regular season. Nothing else after that, right? They know, and guys who are high earners, and look, we look at that CBA that they signed back in March. A lot of high earners weren't happy with the way it was structured for them and for the middle and lower tier to benefit more than where they will be. They will definitely get the season underway. But the question is for them now, as we move towards July, is, look, are we going to have a spike in the state of Florida, in the state of Texas, where you have five NFL teams? In California, I don't think it's going to have any home games, at least until November minimum here, Rod. So I think the NFL has to really move these pieces in place to make sure that they have the mandate in place where players get tested right away and that they are in control of what they do outside the NFL walls when they're on their own time.
Mo Khan, you rock. Thanks for this. Let's do it again soon. Stay safe out there.
Always, my friend. We'll see each other hopefully sooner than later.
Sounds good. TSN 690's Mo Khan joining us from La Belle Province. A little overtime on a break, but that's okay. We're going to come back with a sports update, a poll update, and TSN's John Liu will join us as well. It is the RP Show on this Tuesday, June 23rd. I'm looking for my sponsor read sheet. There we go. Facebook Live. Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, CastBox, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, we are Pure Clean Restoration Regina, and today we're at Modern Men's Salon disinfecting and applying Aegis Microbe Shield Protection. Aegis Microbe Shield creates a layer of confidence when reopening your business. It actively works in between cleanings to reduce the microbial load and keep places like Modern Men's Salon safer in between regular cleaning practices. As Saskatchewan reopens and the salons prepare for more traffic, this protection is an extra level of security for both staff and customers.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Nat, what are the top five reasons people come to Suds?
Number five, our advanced technology protects your finish and keeps your car clean longer. Number four, we knock off the snow and ice and towel dry to prevent freeze-up. Number three, our famous Suds Ultimate thoroughly cleans your car's interior. Number two, you never need an appointment and you get a showroom shine. And the number one reason, we treat our customers like family.
Treat yourself and your car to a Suds full-service car wash.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. John Liu coming up from TSN Montreal. Sports update. Alberta is upping the ante in its bid for Edmonton to co-host the NHL Summer Stanley Cup Tournament, pitching Rocky Mountain excursions for players' families. Alberta Premier Jason Kenney wrote on Twitter, "It's the obvious choice to bring the NHL to Edmonton." He wrote in a short introduction that accompanies a video he posted celebrating panoramic vistas of soaring mountains and pristine lakes. As somebody said along the line, it's a five-hour drive from Edmonton to get to those. But they're trying.
Yeah, I guess.
Edmonton is competing with Toronto and Vancouver, along with American sites, to be one of two hub cities to host NHL games in isolation to complete the season, which was put on hold March 12th.
That's like having your profile picture on the dating app with you 10 years ago with abs and looking all
good. No, it's a little misleading.
Yeah, false advertising.
The bid by the Oilers and Kenny has previously focused on the fact Alberta has flattened the curve on COVID cases, is a world leader in per capita testing, and could keep players isolated because the downtown home arena Rogers Place is linked by pedway to hotels and other amenities. Christine Myatt, Kenny's spokeswoman, said they want to provide opportunities for families too. The Chicago Cubs have signed first-round draft pick Ed Howard to a minor league contract that includes a $3.7 million bonus. Baseball still not learning anything from COVID, by the way.
Zero.
Howard went number 16 overall in the June 10th amateur draft. The 18-year-old shortstop was a prep star at Mount Carmel High School on Chicago's south side. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon, where today scrumptious chicken tacos are on special. $13.99 at Wendell Clark's, the corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. See it, Wendell's. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Energy Bars, seven delicious flavors. Fresh, all natural, healthy, and delicious. No preservatives, no refined sugar. Just give them a try. That's all I do is ask. They are the best energy bar you'll ever have, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt. And RP Show viewers get a 20% discount when you use the promo code RP Show at g2gbars.ca. Thank you to Ben Cahoon for the continued support. Did you ever find the list of amenities the NBA players are going to be afforded in Orlando?
Oh, yeah. I got it.
Did right you here. Screenshot it? You got it saved?
Yeah, it's incredible. And so I was thinking about this. People who thought Saskatoon should be a hub city in the NHL, which I was one. You know, this is what the standard is. Edmonton, Calgary, you want your city to host. NBA, they get daily movie screenings, DJ sets, video games, ping pong, billiards, and lawn games among the options.
We can do that!
Okay. Outdoor concerts, live comedy, and access to Disney parks and attractions could be other possible entertainment options. Players will also have access to an exclusive lounge, pools, barbers, manicurists, pedicurists, and a 24-hour VIP concierge. Additionally, players players can attend other teams' games, and each organization will have access to a Disney culinary team that will help create individualized team menus.
Now you're talking.
And the three places they're going to stay, the Grand Destino, the Grand Floridian, and the Yacht Club. They're split between those three hotels or resorts in Orlando. So when you look at the package that's being offered, it's not about isolation hub cities and being safe. That, I think, is like the standard that everybody has to meet. But then it's like, show me, what are you going to do for the players? What can you do for their families?
Saskatoon has the Colonial, the Senator.
Yes. Yeah, the Colonial.
What's the difference?
They've got the triple vodkas are real cheap at the Colonial.
What do we want here? Are you here to drink booze or play basketball? Right.
The Golf Dome. They got the Golf Dome.
Right. Let's bring in TSN Montreal's John Liu, who scribbled his name down to go cover the NBA in Florida, I'm sure, after hearing that list. How you doing, John?
Great, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. And to be honest with you, I don't want to be anywhere near Florida right now, not just for the Humidex, which is probably even worse than what it is in Montreal right now, but with the COVID cases exploding in that state, no thanks. I don't want to go there.
I want to come back to that for a second, but do you have your hair in a pony by chance?
No, I don't. I got it cut last Friday. For whatever reason, people seem to really like the I don't know what you want to call it, hockey hair, or I'm a headbanger from way back in the 80s, and so I was approaching sort of high school and college length, but it was just getting too long and too warm for this type of weather. So, to answer your question, no, it's there's no pony.
Just looked a little pulled back as well. Farhan, all your TSN buddies were really loving your quarantine flow, as you noticed the last time you were on the program.
That's very kind of them. I think it's just, you know what? I think probably people look at it and think it's hockey hair. So, I mean, that's the majority of what we do. So, it's a compliment. But I will keep the stash, though, provided, there isn't any backlash against us. People seem to like it, too. So I think I'm going to keep that.
That's awesome.
It'll survive the pandemic. And actually, you know, you were talking about attractions in Saskatoon. Granted, you don't have the same volume or extensiveness as Orlando, but I have to say, I don't know if it's still there, but that there's was a piano bar down around the corner from the Delta Hotel, 2010 World Juniors in Saskatoon. Oh my gosh, we had so many good times at that piano bar.
John,
I can't remember the name of it.
Sorry,
but it was
Staccato.
The best.
It was called Staccato. It was in the basement,
okay.
Right? There was an upstairs and a basement.
That's right.
It's not there anymore.
Oh,
unfortunately.
That saddens me, because if I ever get back to Saskatoon, that would have been one of my first stops.
Yeah. It is a steakhouse, I think, though, now.
That's amazing. The bars that do stand the test of time, there's a reason, like the Long Branch and those. But anyways, story for another time. Can you, John, you know, it's funny. We talk about not wanting to go to Florida. We had Rod Black on here last week, and he wasn't really sure what his role was going to be with TSN with the NBA playoffs, because we all saw him on the run with the Raptors last year. What's it like as the beat guy, whether it be an NHL team or an NBA team? Are you getting any information as to what your travel plans will be yet?
At this point, no, unfortunately not, Rod. And I think it's probably because of the still the uncertainty, not just will the NHL get phase four off the ground, but what's going to happen with respect to the border? Because even though the United States are allowing professional athletes from the various sports from outside, like, I mean, whether it's Canada or Europe or Asia, into the United States, there hasn't been any word as to whether media would be given the same special dispensation, if you want to call it that. So at this point, I'd have to say the chances are, I'd say 50-50 at best, whether I get to follow the Canadiens to cover them in their play-in round, which at this point, again, we don't know because the hub cities haven't been announced. I see that Pierre Lebrun tweeted today that it's been narrowed down to six cities, the three Canadian cities, as we've known for quite some time, but also Chicago, LA has entered the mix. And, of course, Vegas, which seems to be a front runner. But the last time, last I read, and I believe it was Pierre Lebrun who reported this too, that COVID cases are on the rise in the state of Nevada. So whether or not that jeopardizes Vegas's chances of being a hub city, we won't know. But again, that's just all part of the uncertainty, the unpredictability of how various jurisdictions are handling and experiencing their case incidents. So
no kidding.
I'd love to say that I'd be following the Canadians, but at this point, I don't I can't say with any certainty that I will.
From our intern, Alan. Alan Lee is his name. He is of Vietnamese descent, and he's a journalism student at the U of R, just so you know his background, John. He says, hey, Mr. Liu, okay, what was your first job in journalism, and any advice for upcoming journalists?
First of all, I'll just say that Alvin?
Alan.
Or Alan.
Alan.
And he's interning for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, Alan, what you're doing right now, interning with Rod, that is one of my my best pieces of advice to any student that's trying to get into the business, and that is, where at all possible, work for free. And employers love to hear that, but the thing is that if you're able to secure yourself internships or other opportunities to work in newsrooms, in radio stations, television stations, anywhere that you'd have an opportunity to meet news directors, producers, assignment editors, decision makers, where you get an opportunity to firsthand show them what you're all about, like demonstrate your work ethic, how you work within a team environment, your skills, your abilities, your knowledge, that is the best step that you can take. And and hand in hand with that, I won't say secondarily to that, I'd say hand in hand, you're taking the route that I would recommend as well, which is the education route. Study radio, television arts, study journalism, the craft of it, the ethics, because there are so many people that are capable and talented and able to do the more and more the limited number of jobs that are out there, that it's important to get the proper grounding. And so yeah, you're on the right track, Alan, and I wish you all the best. Good luck to you. And my first job in the business was in my graduating year in journalism college in the year of 2000. I got hired out of an internship at Christmas and New Year's, heading into Y2K, actually, with CTV Winnipeg, which was called CKY at the time. And from the internship over Christmas and New Year's, they hired me to do part-time news reporting while I was in my second year of college. So on the weekends, I was reporting for CKY. I'll call them CKY. I was reporting for CKY and going to school during the week. Yeah, from that, I got my first opportunity to do live reporting on air, to do live hits. And it was great. It was like being thrown into the deep end of the pool. Yeah, I'm going to have to cut that story short, because if I tell you how I got into TSN, it's going to eat up the rest of the segment. So that's
another time.
That's a story for another time.
Yeah, when you come and lecture, at the U of R journalism program, you can tell that story. That, I think they'd love to have you. And by the way, we had Mo Khan on earlier on this hour, John, and I guess I should have known, but he talked about the raging, rampant pressure on the Habs right now, the unrest in your city and across the province about the Canadiens. Obviously, you were on the Jeff Molson conference call. I didn't know that he had one. Like, how hot is it out there right now?
Well, I think the heat is more on the sense that people are the fan base is kind of venting. Last week was venting its frustration. 2 weeks ago, sorry, at Jeff Molson. I guess the frustration of another non-playoff year, because to be honest with you, a lot of the fan base either feel like they don't want the Canadiens in this play-in round, because they feel that if they advance a round or two and then flame out, then it's only going to jeopardize their opportunity to get a top 10 draft pick. And that's something that the fan base here had really started to get accustomed to. It's like, okay, well, if the team is not making the playoffs, then at least if they're netting high caliber prospects that will give them hope for the future, then that was an acceptable consolation prize. And so there are mixed feelings about the Canadiens being in this play-in round. And so it's just sort of creating a very odd atmosphere, a lot of frustrations coming to the fore. And some of that was directed toward Jeff Molson in the aftermath of his press conference 2 weeks ago. Marc Bergevin, who was a little bit, I guess that would have been I think a month ago, around the time that the Canadians had, around the time that the league announced that the Canadians were going to be one of the 24 teams allowed to qualify for the playoffs, Mark Bergevin started to take the heat there too. I'd say that the Heat is not so much pressure on the Canadians to do something in this play-in round or potentially something after that as it is just people, I think, frustrated at their not being hockey and the way that this season is gone. It's hard to predict where that sense is going to go, especially if all of a sudden the NHL isn't able to get phase three or phase four off the ground. And so I guess we'll just have to wait and see what people start saying and thinking and feeling once phase four potentially does get into swing into action and the Canadians play the Penguins for however long that series may last and if they advance past it.
To me, that's just absolutely fascinating. It sounds like the Sabres and the Pegulas, yet the Habs are in the playoffs, so you'd think they'd be happy. So I'm glad that we unearthed that today in Montreal. And believe me, I get it. Where the fans are coming from. Let's end on this from our VP of Sim Events. Nelson writes in and he says, what is John Liu's favorite metal band?
Iron Maiden. Yeah, that's an easy one. No, they're the ones. Well, Judas Priest is a close second. Judas Priest is probably my 1A. And Iron Maiden is number one simply because they were the band that really turned me into a metalhead. And so I've been a fan of theirs for a very long time, like going back to the early 80s, like when they were just after they released their first album. Their second album was the one that kind of really set me down that long horizon of heavy metal devotion for many years now. So, that one's always easy to answer.
Let me just ask you this. Well, it's easy for you to answer, but let me ask you this. As a child of the 80s, you consider Guns N' Roses, Poison, Motley Crue metal, or are they like bubblegum metal? Because they're not hardcore like those bands that you follow.
I'd say that Guns N' Roses are probably a little bit more on the, I don't know how to say this without offending fans of hair metal or glam metal, but Guns N' Roses, I'm a big Slash fan, I'd say that they're probably a little bit more authentic when it comes to like real, you know, like hardcore, just honoring the roots of metal per se. The other bands, they have some good tunes, Motley Crue and Poison. I do like some of their stuff, but I was never like a devoted fan of those particular bands or their subgenre within the metal metal umbrella. But
You're not rocking the t-shirt or standing in line for tickets, basically.
No. But the t-shirt that I have on, it's a drum kit. I play the drums too. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's like I have a very small YouTube channel. I've been playing sort of this call and answer with a random friend that I made on Twitter. To make a long story short, we've been playing metal tunes back and forth, like Ozzy, Judas Priest, Rainbow, and some other fun, real vintage stuff. Actually, the last one that he did was YYZ. Like, this guy's a professional. He puts me to shame. And so we make requests of each other. I asked him to do YYZ, and he killed it. Just awesome. You know, it's like I told him, it's like if Rush ever decide to carry on without Neil Peart, he should send them a demo tape. Send that as an audition tape. I think he has a good chance at making it.
Can you divulge to our viewers what your YouTube channel is before we let you go?
You know what, to be honest with you, I can't even remember the name of it. It might have been my Google name, which it's Mini P Manny T, M-I-N-I-P M-A-N-N-Y-T. And what that refers to is the first two dogs I ever had was a miniature pincer and a Manchester Terrier. So that's where that handle comes from. And so there's about half a dozen metal tunes on there. I think I might even have one or two of me singing with my wife. We like to do karaoke.
Sounds
big
amazing.
Surprise. But it's just kind of fun stuff. And so if people were inclined to go digging onto YouTube for that, they'll find it there.
Producer Clark, you just told me we have subscribed. just in your explanation, we've already subscribed. John, thanks for
you
the visit.
You found it already.
Yeah, wow. You found it already.
Awesome.
Didn't take
Thank
long. Mini P, Manny T. Got it. Thanks, John.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure, and looking forward to being on again next time.
Appreciate it. Thank you. John Liu checking in from Montreal. See what you learned?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll be back. I got to tweet the Rockstar poll. We got a closer race than yesterday's NASCAR finish.
Oh, yeah.
For Rockstar of the Day.
Got to listen to some Judas Priest in the break, too.
No kidding. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Oh, this is so much fun. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in and allowing us to be on the air, having fun every day. Rob Cameron writes in and says, who would have thought John is a metalhead? Love this show.
Very unassuming.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The poll is up, folks, for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. We said this was going to be a photo finish. My word. Wally Buono, Mike Richards, Mo Khan, or John Liu? And right now, Wally Buono is in the lead. He has got one vote. Nobody else has one since I just posted it. And I want to say something about, Mike Richards has just jumped into the lead. This is going to be a 24-hour race here before we award the coveted RP hat. We got to get Rob Vance onto the leader post, the Rod Peterson Show Rockstar hat. I'm not sure if he's ever won it, but he wears hats all the time. The dude's posting selfies on social media all the time.
He is.
We got to get him a hat. And he is a rock star.
Oh, yeah.
He's lost like 50 pounds.
I know.
I want to tell you something about Wally Buono. And one day, maybe it's Football Friday, if people have noticed how things have changed on this program, since the pandemic, Clark's been booking four guests a day. If there's three, it seems almost bare.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But back before the pandemic, it was two guests a day. Yeah. It was far more storytelling.
Yeah.
And that was fun, too.
Sure it was.
But just with Wally, we hated each other. I think he had me blocked on Twitter. I had him blocked on Twitter. Because it was the professional rivalry thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know Wally, so to hate him would be dumb. But we couldn't beat his teams. He was truculent in the media. Before Brian Burke was even a thing, Wally Buono was truculent with the media. I'll never forget, in the mid-90s, he came in with Calgary, maybe late 90s. They were winning Grey Cups then. Mind you, I guess they won in 95 with Wally too. But I remember this, and he won't mind. He won't care. I'm not even the voice of the Riders yet, but I'm there as the sideline reporter or whatever, covering the news conference. And Wally comes in, and he had said something in the media that turned out to be factually incorrect, and the media was all over him for being incorrect with some quote that he'd made.
Okay.
And Wally literally, can you just imagine him saying this? He has a suit and tie, like the team had just landed. He's dressed in suit and tie. He's like, I'm above being criticized, particularly in this town. And I'm like, of course, deep down, I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. But I'm like, you can't say that. But he was right.
Yeah.
I'm above being criticized. So it was a small error. Who cares? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he just rolls with it. And there was that infamous story from the 2007 playoffs. This is the wildest thing. If anybody wonders why I don't miss my old life, let's think about this. We're having a pregame meal in Spokane, Washington on a Saturday afternoon with the Pats. Are you familiar with the geography of the state of Washington?
Yes.
Spokane is in the northeast corner of the state.
Yeah.
My phone rings, and it's Carm Cartieri, who was my color guy at the time. The Riders were in Vancouver for the West Final, and it was a Saturday, and they had their pregame news conference, and Wally just unloaded on Carm. Do you remember that being in the news at all? Because it was all over SportsCenter.
I don't.
I'm in Spokane, because the Pats are playing the Chiefs Saturday night, and Carm's like shaking. He's like, Wally unloaded on me. This is what happened. Blah, blah, blah. Like, just losing his mind. And I'm like, what do you want me to do about it? I'm sitting in Spokane.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just got to tell you, Wally did this. And they're almost related, those two. Wally Buono, Carm Cartieri. Carm played for him in Montreal. Like, right. They go back a long ways. So anyway, like, it was kind of nasty. Wally called him a goof.
Yeah.
In front of everybody in the news conference. The Pats played in Spokane. And then me and the Pats trainer, who was a huge Lions fan, Greg Mayer.
Yeah.
You'd know him. The team bussed to Seattle overnight Saturday. When the team got in to Seattle, he and I rented a van and drove to Vancouver for me to call the game on game day.
Wow.
But just think about the
geographic.
Drove all overnight to get there. And that was the West Final that the Riders would win. So I packed all my gear thinking, well, if the Riders lose, I'm coming right back to Seattle after the game to finish this road trip. If the Riders win, I'm going to Toronto to the Grey Cup. And that's what happened. It just seemed fun at the time. But I would never do that again. That's stupid. And I do remember walking in. Well, we stayed at the Hyatt in Vancouver. I checked in and got a day room with Greg.
Yeah.
Had to have a nap, right?
Right.
And then we walked from the Hyatt to BC Place. And on the afternoon of the game, and I was in a zone. I was like, he's talking to me, and I'm not listening. And he's like, this is a different you than we're used to with the Pats. Because with the Colin Hockey's not a big deal. You do 72 a year, right? It's not, I'm always laughing, joking all the time. This was the West Final, man. A trip to the Grey Cup was on the line, and I was wired thinking about the game and everything. And, of course, the Riders won the game, and the rest was history. But that was quite a wild weekend, and something that happened between Carm and Wally.
Wow.
Which is my point. That was when the Lions all had mustaches. Do you people remember that? It was some sort of Movember campaign. Dave Dickinson had a mustache. Wally had a mustache. And after the game, they lost, and they all shaved their mustaches off. And we're leaving the stadium, and Wally came up and put his arm around Carm and said, are we good? And Carm just looked at him like, what? No. And Wally's like, we're in the entertainment business. He didn't even mean it. It was just a way of distracting,
deflecting
the talk of the game. Yeah, deflecting the vibe of the game. But that that didn't make me like Wally.
Thanks for letting me in on it.
Yeah, you're one half of it.
You feel about an inch tall. Oh man.
People are writing in with some interesting comments. Dave Spatafora, I remember that well. I knew at that exact moment that the Lions thought they were not winning that game. That's what we said, Dave. That's what we said. Wally's creating a distraction because they know they're not going to win. They know they're not favored in this game.
Yeah.
Wild times, man. I could tell those stories forever. But Wally now comes on this show. It's somewhere along the line. The Sutters always said that to me. They said the guys that you hated the most back when you were in the trenches, really, in the heat of battle, are the guys that become your best friends later on in life.
Isn't it funny how that works?
And it just happens.
Yeah.
You don't set out for it to happen.
Yeah.
But now I think Wally's the greatest. He comes on this show. He's been on now how many times?
Right.
And I get he is the GOAT. But when he was getting to be the GOAT...
When you connect with those guys after, you realize you're more alike than you think. You're a lot more alike than you think. And I think that's why you connect
and become
best friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're the same guy. You know, the egos are up here and they clash when you're on opposite sides. When you get to know each other, you realize you guys are just the same person. Yeah. You know, you're each playing a role.
Jeff in Calgary says, wow, you guys have interesting views. That's the Stamps fan. Yeah, we're right. From Alan Lee, Wally is like a Jedi with his mind tricks. Yes, he is. He's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. Anyways, we'll talk a little bit about the sim, go through our quick six show topics. I do have things I haven't even covered yet today that I got to get to.
All right.
I did read the sports update. There's SJHL news, too, that I think the nation needs to hear. So we'll be right back with Overtime. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Services company, LED sign rentals, video production, event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, thank you. Overtime is underway, and we're just picking up where we left off. So, and I was waiting for this comment to come in from Jeff, the Stamps fan. It's not an argument here at all. But he says, I respect you guys, but come on, man. Wally knew he was going to lose, so he was creating a distraction. It's how we felt at the time. In retrospect, I'm not sure whether we were right or not, but we definitely felt that. Why would Wally attack the color guy of the other team in a news conference? Why would you not be talking about the game? There was a motive behind it. The question was why.
Yeah.
And the viewer Dave Spadafora wrote in and said the exact same thing. It was because he knew his team was in trouble. He was trying to create a distraction. That's all. That's what we thought at the time. My God, it was 13 years ago. There's been a lot of water go under the bridge since.
coaches understand, like, they don't believe, I mean, they know if they coach and they execute a game plan, they can win almost every game, right? I mean, you can do that. You can bring up your team's talent. But you know when you're outmatched. Every coach knows when they're outmatched. They know that the line in Vegas isn't just made up, right? But that's the tricks. You motivate. That's their job as a coach, to motivate their teams, to create advantages, to find distractions, right? To keep your players in the right mindset. This guy's a clown. He doesn't, you know, and the attention's now all on what he, the reporter, says or what the analyst is saying.
Well, I know, and I was sitting in Spokane that night, and my phone's going off. We were texting in 07, weren't we? People were saying, I think we were.
Just, yeah.
People were saying, oh, my God, TSN Open Sports Center with 12 minutes of Wally and Carm going back and forth. And I didn't see any of it because I was in Spokane. Like, it was a big deal at the time. That's all.
Creating bulletin board material.
Yeah, and you almost wonder if that would ever happen now. You really wonder if that would ever. It was just seemed like such a different time. We are in such a sterile, precautious, not fun time. And it reminds me of the poll question here. Or not even that. The Rockstar poll for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Wally is leading. Okay? Which shouldn't surprise anybody. He's got 43% of the vote. Mike Richards has 29%, 18% voting for John Liu. And Mo Khan, we've introduced him to the nation today. Mo Khan, we've introduced him to the nation from TSN 690. He said he had family watching in England. Blew his mind. But Mike Richards came on here in hour one with an absolutely epic troll of Edmonton. I'm talking epic. Should I even paraphrase it? For those that, like, you're going to want to go back and watch
it. You have to go back. It'll be probably on Twitter and YouTube
this
and Facebook.
This is what made Mike Richards famous. And I don't know what the hell he did in his career before Fan 960 Calgary, but it feels like, to me, he made his name at Fan 960 Calgary.
Yeah, he did. I was
to us.
I would tune in to the show on the, you know, online, or I would find the clips that they used to post on the website of him doing all his impressions, ripping Edmonton. He did a great Darren Detition. He did a Dominic Hasek. You remember those?
Michelle, like, Wee.
So good.
Steve Armitage.
Oh, the Armitage one was good. Oh.
So, anyway, it was vintage Mike Richards, and he was talking about Edmonton trying to lure the NHL to be a hub city. And he's like, what are you offering? Submarine trips at the ride in that swamp with condoms and diapers on the bottom of it? What else did he say? Edmonton, the city that has no sun.
Yeah, the sun doesn't shine in Edmonton.
Where they wear sweatpants with dress shoes.
Yeah.
Which, frankly, I got offended because we do that here. We are the sweatpants capital. It was vintage Richards, and it's going to live in infamy because we're going to clip it and pull it.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody gets so hurt now. Can you not just have fun?
Right.
It's similar to, and I'll wind up the show with this, the things that were being said to me by Rider fans yesterday for wearing a Bomber t-shirt are unconscionable.
Mm-hmm. I know.
What's wrong with people? Why are they so
Can't we have
triggered?
Some fun? Can't we have some fun? We're not. It's an interesting time.
They're not getting better, Darren.
Interesting time. And I know they're not. And somebody thinks that they're serious. That's the problem. It's much like when our friends at the Rams posted the picture of the tinted mask, you know, with the Ram logo on it. Like, you're not going to wear a mask with a logo on it anyway. And I posted too and say, how beautiful is this? It looks awesome. And some guy comes on and instantly.
That's illegal.
That's illegal. I'd call a penalty. He'd be disqualified. The mask is on a shelf in the room on display.
Calm down.
Just lower the temperature a little
Everybody's
bit.
Just still. Right on edge. Well, not everybody. I'm not. You're not. But it's just, eesh. I don't know. But we're going to continue to have fun here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Clark, for the wonderful lineup today. When it's that much of a struggle to pick a rock star of the day, it tells you it's a good one. Tomorrow, Sean Lemon, the Lemonator. Oh, Brett Kissel. The great Brett Kissel. We got him. Rashawn Simonese, CFL free agent wide receiver. Have we had him before?
No,
we haven't.
Yet,
Clark Yells. And Joey Haywood of the CEBL's Fraser Valley Bandits. We got to get the word out. on the CEBL, because Pat Fiacco sat in that chair yesterday, and I swear to you, he had not heard the Saskatchewan Rattlers nor the CEBL. And Pat's a man about town. Shocked me. So we got to continue to get the CEBL out. Monty says, you're doing a great job. Keep it up, but no Rams talk.
We got to go pick up that Husky helmet.
And Andrew Stout, they have nothing better to do, Rod. It's your show. You can do what you want. Oh, and that's what feels so great. People are really starting to figure out why I'm doing this.
Yes.
It's taken a year. I'd rather talk to an audience of two people and tell the truth than talk to an audience of 2 million and be told what to say or be told to lie. That's the God's honest truth.
Yeah.
Okay, see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain, right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.